Hello, Audio Boom. Graham here, Black 73 Cat. Hope you're all well, guys. It's Thursday, the 2nd of April, 2015. It's about 20 past 12 in the PM. I'm just making some lunch for me and the boy. How are we all? I had a little bit of a realisation of something this morning. Feels kind of strange. I don't quite know what a midlife crisis entails, but I'm not having a midlife crisis. I'm just kind of I'm finding more and more over recent weeks, possibly months, that I'm kind of having urges to try new things or just to kind of step outside of my sort of normal comfort zone, if you like. And it's not worrying me, but it's just kind of confusing me a little bit. Confusing is the wrong word. I'm becoming aware of it. It's sort of pricking my conscience a little bit. I don't really know why. It's nothing severe. I'm not like going to say I want to start like skydiving, or I'm not going to buy a Porsche and run off with an 18-year-old, you know. I would probably struggle to do both of those those last things, but hey. excuse me, but I'm sort of looking at stuff now where normally I would just kind of maybe have a look at it and just kind of, ooh, no, I don't fancy trying that or something. But I'm kind of taking a bit of a different view, and I'm sort of thinking, I want to look at that a bit further. I'm going to force myself to kind of, to stick with this and look a bit deeper into it, sort of thing. And one of the things that's kind of sort of sparked this, well, a couple of things have sparked this realization in the last couple of days, is that I've never been a fan of, or certainly not in recent years, I've not been a fan of animated comedy. Many years ago, I used to watch, I mean, I'm talking 20 years ago, I used to watch things like Beavis and Butthead and South Park and The Simpsons and that sort of thing, and think they were hilarious, you know. But then I kind of felt like I'd just sort of grown out of it. And like I say, it must be 20 years or something since I sat down and watched an episode of that type of thing. But of course, recently, there's been a new sort of, a new crop of these animated comedies that have appeared. Things like Family Guy. And I heard people that watch Family Guy, and people say, oh, have you seen that episode of Family Guy? Where I'm like, no, I don't watch it. And people look at me, well, why not? Well, because it's pants. Well, how do you know you've not watched it? Okay, fair enough, but it's animated comedy and it's bound to be pants. But anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in the house and didn't fancy putting the Xbox on, wasn't much on TV, didn't have much recorded to watch, and I just thought, I'd gone through iPlayer, couldn't find anything to inspire me, and I just thought, oh, I might watch a film. So I had a look, and nothing was really jumping out at me. And I spotted this film called Ted. Now, I've heard a lot of people talking about this Ted, so I decided to give it a watch. And I thought it was like a Pixar thing. Like a kid's film, but with sort of adult innuendo to keep the grown-up sweet, you know? But after the first sort of 3 minutes and the first few F-bombs, I realised quickly that it wasn't a kid's film. Thankfully, it was 9 o'clock at night and I had no children with me. To be fair, I had seen the age certificate as I started it off, so I kind of really knew I was wrong before it started, but I'm saying that for comedy effect. Anyway, so So I sat and watched it, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. I wouldn't say it had me rolling on the floor in stitches, but it made me chuckle, made me smile, made me feel good. So I thought, I like that. And it was written or directed or something by a guy called Seth MacFarlane, who is the creator of Family Guy. And I just thought, you know what? Maybe I kind of enjoyed the comedy in that. I wonder if it's the same as it is in Family Guy. I thought, I'm going to give this a look. And I did give it a look. And I really like it. I've got the whole lot of, there's like 290 odd episodes or something. And I've gone right back to the start, right back to series one. And I'm about 5 episodes in now, I think. So it's still all like character introduction and plot setting and that kind of thing. But already it's got me hooked. I'm really, really enjoying it. And from what people are telling me, it just gets better and better and better. So it's just one of those things where it's something that, you know, probably even 6 months ago, I wouldn't have even entertained the idea of watching that. I probably wouldn't have even entertained the idea of watching Ted. I might not have even entertained the idea of watching a film, because it's something that I haven't really done for a lot of years. I don't watch films very much at all these days. So I just kind of, you know, I thought I'm going to force myself to do this and see if I like it. You know, instead of just turning my nose up and, you know, just like snarling at people who talk about that kind of thing, I think, well, let's just like broaden my mind a little bit and see if I can, you know, formulate a proper opinion instead of just an unfounded one. But that sort of thing's been happening a lot. I mean, that whole thing with the Salad Fingers thing. Incidentally, I finished watching Salad Fingers. You really need to watch that. It's really good. But, yeah, when I first saw that, Rick sent the link through, and I watched the first couple of minutes, and I thought, this is just awful. But I forced myself to stick with it. I thought, no, I'm going to watch this. It's something new. It's something different. It's not my normal thing. I'm going to force myself to do it. And as it happened, I forced myself to do it, and I really, really liked it. I really liked it. Watch Salad Fingers, it's awesome. Anyway, but it's just another thing where it was this kind of sort of yearning to try something new. And it's kind of subconscious in some ways, because things like, even things like video games, where there are a few games in recent months where I've started a new game, and it's like, especially if it's an RPG, a role-playing game, where you have to create a character, and that character can have, you know, a huge range of traits, that change the dynamic of how the game plays, and changes how you would play how you are forced to play the game. So for example, obviously a lot of these RPG type things are kind of fantasy type stuff, and I was doing this night before. There's a new game which is based on what's that thing called Dungeons and Dragons, which I never ever played. I know nothing about Dungeons and Dragons at all. All I know is it was played by geeks in dark rooms, and there's loads of complex rules or something, but then the rules can be broken at any time because there's one bloke that oversees everybody else, and he's just like, he's like God, and he can just tell everybody that they've lost and they've got to go home or something like that. I don't know, but anyway, that's really not my thing. All that kind of fantasy stuff was never on the radar until a little while ago, when I started sort of looking into it a bit more and getting a bit more interested in it. Anyway, so there's this game that's come down. It's a free-to-play game on Xbox One called Neverwinter. And I was started that game off, and it's all high fantasy stuff. So it's all like, you know, like elves and orcs and all these dwarves and all these fancy creatures and stuff. And you can choose what kind of character you want to be when you start the game. And you know, in the past, I would have, you know, anything like that, I would just go human, 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 human with a big sword, human with a big sword. That's all I want to do. But just of late, when I've started these games, I'm now forcing myself to kind of step away from that norm and kind of try other things, and you know, try different sort of races or classes, so using maybe magic, for example, or bows and arrows and stuff like that, which again might sound trivial to anybody who's a non-gamer, but it's all part of this thing about, there's this subconscious thing going on inside my head where I want to try new things, you know. Hill walking, for example. I've always been hill walking, and then last year I decided, right, I really want to do the wild camping thing, and I started doing that. And then now I'm looking and I'm thinking, I really want to go down the bushcrafting route now. I want to start doing, you know, wild food foraging and that kind of thing. I've got all this stuff that I kind of suddenly I want to try all these new things, but these are all things that I've never. I mean, the bushcraft thing's always been on my radar. I've always had a little bit of an interest in it, but it's not something that, I mean, even when I started wild camping, I was kind of looking at people and, you know, doing bushcrafting in the woods and thinking, nah, it's not for me, not for me. But now I'm kind of thinking, yeah, I really want to do that. I really want to sort of look into this more. And there are so many of these things going on that I just kind of feel like I want to try this. I want to kind of step out of my comfort zone, and I want to sort of explore new things. And I can only assume it's because I'm getting on a bit, you know. And I guess there's something sort of switched over inside me psyche that's telling me I want to do all these things. And I'm guessing that's how the old adage of the midlife crisis comes about, isn't it? It must just be that switch in your brain where you suddenly think, oh, God, bugger me! I've just dropped a tub on the floor. You silly monkey, Graham. It's kind of thrown off a little bit. I guess that's how a midlife crisis happens. You know, if your life's in a bit of a rut and you feel like you're sort of bogged down under stuff, you suddenly kind of think, I just need to do something completely new and radical. And I mean, like I say, I'm not going to do anything completely new and radical. That's really not where I'm getting at, where I'm going with this. Although, is it? Because I've just... This is, again, sounds really bizarre. So when I met my missus very, very early on in our relationship, she told me about her desire to live in America. you're my lad in the background. She told me about her desire to live in America. She spent a couple of summers out there working the summer camps when she was at university and stuff. She's always said that she wants to go and live there. And I've always said, no, I'm not living in America. What the hell would I want to go there for? I've never been. I've got no great desire to go. I don't do holidays. I'm not really interested in that kind of stuff. So I've never really travelled anywhere other than Spain to see my parents. Belgium for a day trip. France for a week with the school. Other than that, I haven't really gone anywhere. That doesn't really bother me. I've got mountains in the Lake District. I don't need to go very far. And I can find my paradise right on my doorstep, you know. But anyway, that's a whole different story. So anyway, she's always had this thing about wanting to live in America, and I've always said, no, not a chance. Never will I go and live there. It just looks like a really sort of scary place, and I don't want to go and live there. And kind of half-heartedly, I've said, well, I'll live in Australia if you want, but she doesn't want to live in Australia, and I've always said I wouldn't go to America. But then... a couple of years ago, I did say to her, because as many of you will be aware, she's the main breadwinner, and I play the support role. So I kind of said to her, look, you know, if ever the opportunity arises for us to go to America, as much as it's not something that I want to do, then, but at the same time, I don't want to be sitting in our rocking chairs at 80 odd year old and you scowling at me over your cup of tea because, you know, you always wanted to live in America and I held you back. Excuse me, I've got hiccups again. So I kind of said, look, you know, if ever the opportunity arises, just go for it. I'll agree to it, and I'll come. I'll do it because ultimately, because she's going out and doing the majority of the work and providing for the family sort of thing. I just kind of think it's one of those things where, you know, at very least she deserves to sort of have at least, you know, a part of her life pan out, you know, where she dreamt about it as a young person, you know. So I've always said, look, if ever the opportunity comes, as much as I don't want to do it, I'll go with you. Go with you. That sounds wrong, doesn't it? I'll agree to it, and we can do it, sort of thing. And that was it. It was kind of this under duress type thing. But my opinions of America, like many people's, I suppose, until you've been there, were formulated primarily on what I've seen on TV. You know, films and 70s and 80s cop dramas and stuff like that, you know, which realistically I probably don't give a true reflection of what the place is actually like. And I keep saying the place, but you know, you have to remember it's a massive place and it's very, 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 very varied, so I keep getting told, in cultures and all the rest of it. And that's the thing, I'm starting to learn more about this kind of variety of culture that is available over there, it's becoming more appealing. And you know what? I've just been sat there watching, of all things, a program called Wheeler Dealers. If any of you don't know what that is, it's a proper geeky car show. It's where a couple of guys buy up an old car, do it up, and flog it, and try and make a profit. Usually, it's UK based. They've done a swanky new series where they've kind of set themselves up in California to do the whole series. So they're buying American cars from Americans and selling them back to Americans when they've done them up. And because it's not there's a fair bit of money goes into it, but because it's not a really high production thing, and it's a bit more sort of grassrootsy, if you like, it just kind of gives you a little bit of a better insight into the kind of, it's hard to describe because it's not an in-depth report. It's not telling you what daily life is like in America, but just to see little snippets from a different perspective, it's actually really good for me. And I've watched stuff like Reginald D. Hunt has just done a tour around I think it was the southern states. I've got watched a couple of episodes. I've got a bit more to watch about music and stuff and this kind of thing and how we grew up and what it was like and how it's changed and stuff. Anyway, I'm sitting there watching this episode of Top Gear, Wheel of Dealers, and I just kind of thought, that looks really good. They were in Chicago, and I just thought, I don't even like cities, but I just thought, that looks amazing. I want to go there. They're in downtown Chicago, and it just looks like a really interesting place to go, and especially as a photographer, you know? And I'm thinking, ooh, when I eventually decide what kind of camera I want to buy, that would be a really good place to go and try it out, you know? And I just kind of suddenly thought to myself, you know what? I've got all this stuff in my life that's kind of, you know, like sort of issues that I've mentioned before, issues with my next door neighbours and the parish council and that kind of thing that's immediate and it's on my doorstep. But then I've got like stuff around the house, you know, projects that are half finished, you know, garage that needs clearing out and emptying, this kind of thing. And nothing major, but you know, when you've got these things, that, like so many little things, because I've got a bad reputation for starting a project and not finishing it, there are all these half-done things all floating around. And it just feels like my life's really cluttered and I don't know where to start to kind of straighten it all out, sort of thing, you know? I mean, I've got 2 weeks coming up of Easter when I've got my wife at home. Normally, when I've got my little boy with me during the day, other than doing a bit of housework and making some lunch, I don't like leaving him on his own, you know? I'm here to spend time with him, so I'm not sat in front of a laptop working for 2 or 3 hours a day, which I really do need to do because I've got a project for my mother that I'm helping her with, where I'm making an online shop or a website for her. And I've got photos to edit for her for that sort of project. I've got other things that I'm trying to put into place. I've got things that I'm trying to... Just so much to do. I've got a garage to clear out. I've got a kitchen to decorate. I've got all of these little things that just need fettling and need sorting that on a daily basis I don't get to do. And I put them off or I find something else or I just make excuses for why I can't do them. And then eventually I've just got all these little things piled up around me that I just kind of think, where do I start? How do I start sorting this lot out? And it's nothing major, you know what I mean? I'm not in any massive trouble or anything. It's just like, I want to just clear out and start all over again. And I was suddenly looking at this thing and I just thought, you know what? That would be the perfect solution. Let's just go and live in America. Let's just go and do it. If only it was that easy. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But I've actually just sent my wife a message and said, let's go live in America. And she's like, really? Because, I'm at that point where I just kind of feel like I want to just really just break out of these my own personal boundaries and just try something completely new. Like I've been sort of building up to with the new sort of comedy shows and that kind of thing. But just do that on a grander scale and just try something completely off the wall that I would never, ever think of doing. And at the same time, just wiping the slate clean and starting again from scratch, because that would be it would have to be. Moving somewhere else within the UK, it's not going to really feel all that much of a new start, you know, because things are very samey no matter where you go. Any town centre is the same as the next one these days. But to move to a completely different country, to somewhere that I really would never, ever imagine that I would want to live. And now I'm feeling like, actually, you know what? That might be blooming good for me. And it might help with the whole anxiety and depression type thing, just to completely break out of everything that I know and just have all this newness around me, all this fresh stuff to just take in. You know, and go to where nobody knows me. It feels like it's the right time to do it. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. Well, certainly not for the next few years, I would imagine, anyway, because of careers and money and that kind of thing. But you know, those goddamn things that get in the way of life. I even spoke with an American accent. Well, kind of. But you know, it's not going to happen for the next couple of years. But the more I think about it, the more I think it's something that I would kind of like to do. And I want to do it quite soon if we can, because obviously, because of the kids, you know, we don't want to, it can't, you know, there's going to be coming a point in the kids' education where it's just too late to make that move, you know. So it's kind of either got to happen now or it's going to have to happen in a lot of years' time. And then, you know, it's dragging the kids with us when they've already built up a life here, which is a bit unfair, really. And I wouldn't want to move there without my kids. I mean, my parents live over in Spain now and it's a blinking nightmare. They never see their grandkids, you know. And I certainly wouldn't want to do that. I certainly wouldn't want to, you know, move away without my kids. So it would have to be something that we did sort of fairly soon, I think. Listen to him shouting. I guess he's hungry. You hungry, buddy? You ready for your lunch?
No.
You're not? You don't want any lunch?
I can go to the lounge.
What, you're in the lounge, you loony? I'm just... Listen. 2 minutes. I'm just making your sandwich and I'll come and get you, okay? Is that all right? Okay, in just a minute. Once your sandwich is ready, all right?
No.
Oh, no. Grumpy kid. Last couple of nights he's been really kind of unsettled in his sleep and he's tired and crabby. Anyway, so I'm just kind of thinking that is this like a sort of semi-midlife crisis that I'm having? I've just got this urge, sound like I'm playing an RPG, this urge to try to sort of broaden my horizons a bit and try new stuff. It's not a bad thing, I don't think, but, you know. There we go. So I just thought, you know what? I just thought I'd share that with you. When I actually picked the phone up, I didn't really know what I was going to speak about. Soon sorted that out, didn't I? Expunging, I think it's called, isn't it? Excuse me, I've just shoved a bit of bread in my mouth. Sorry. That's very, very rude of me. Very, very rude of me indeed. So there we go. Anyway, I'm going to leave it at that because my tummy is rumbling and it's in need of a sandwich and I need to fill my belly. So I'm going to do that right now. Was there something I wanted to mention? Oh yes, I listened to Rick and his crime fighting last night. That was cool. I love seeing people get caught like that. And I do hope the police catch them. I guess you probably won't find out. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I hate seeing people get away with stuff like that. Thieving urchins. Good skills, Rick. Good skills. What else have I just been listening to? Simon Boo. Oi, monkey. Noisy pants. Simon talking about booming and bowing. I still keep half an eye. I haven't listened to any voice posts for ages. I've kind of fallen back into the audio booth thing. Mainly because I can waffle and ramble like I'm doing now. I can't do that on voice bow. And there is still issues around quality and, you know, that kind of thing. I should have a look at VoiceBow because I guess I've missed probably quite a bit in the last week or so since I last had a look at the playlist. And I haven't set up the RSS feed yet. I should do that really. That would probably make it a bit more accessible. In fact, it would make it more accessible. I also need the new RSS feed for Audioboo as well because I'm not getting the images. I'm not getting the pictures and apparently the pipe has been modified so that you can now get images with your stuff in Pocket Cast. So I need to do that as well. Anyway, I am seriously waffling now. I am seriously waffling. So I am going to say thank you very much for listening to me waffle. As always, it's very, very much appreciated. And I shall hopefully speak to you all again very, very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.